mentioned, well, friend, that's all right with me. But I'm so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I have been set free.
Subject, and I think it's a lot of folks may look at it as educational or academic, but that's something that can help us as well in our walk with the Lord to understand. And tonight we looked at the good angels the other night and some evil angels. Most of this tonight will be centered around those evil angels. And boy, every time seemed like when I begin to preach on this or preach about this subject, man, it just feels like you feel tension coming against you, and I can't explain that. But it seemed like when you start calling out the devil and what folks can expect and what they can look out for, man, there's a great attack that comes against you. And but understand, the Bible lets us know that Satan shouldn't get an advantage of us because of the snares and the things he lays before us. The best way that I can explain what I'm trying to tell you is if you were in any kind of warfare and you go out into another country, let's say some of our troops were sent over to Afghanistan or wherever, they would be briefed, Brother Randy, on what to expect once they get there. You'd be foolish not to just set them out and they wouldn't have a clue about their enemy or anything. No, they're going to have some briefings. They're going to know what to expect to some degree once they get there. Well, we as believers, we ought to be able to do the same thing because the Bible lays out a lot of things about these evil angels, and a lot of folks don't believe in demon possession. Well, you look at the Word of God, man, it's plumb full of it. And a lot of folks say, well, I just don't believe in demons because the Bible doesn't call them demons. He calls them devils, foul spirits, unclean spirits. You can call them whatever you want to, but make no mistake about it, it still goes on today. A lot of folks, some of the killings and some of these mass shootings and different things, I mean, you take what would possess a mother, Brother Harold, to take her children and to drive those children into a pond and drown them? What would possess somebody to do that? I tell you, the devil. And it still goes on today. Our jailhouses are full of folks that are possessed, no doubt, with devils. And tonight as we look at this, and again from the educational standpoint, we can learn some things. And we also ought to be able to rejoice because all of these devils, these fallen angels, they are subject unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ought to rejoice. I don't want to start off on a negative. I want to start off on a positive and just say that. But there's some things I believe we can gather, and the Scripture has a lot to say, and it will not be an exhaustive list tonight, but I hope it'll be a help and encouragement to you. But in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse number 1, the Bible said this, "Let brotherly love continue." That's a message in and of itself. Then he said in verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, we've already hit that verse a little bit in the previous one we were looking at on Sunday night. And when you think about this, there's angels about us. A lot of folks don't believe that, but there are angels among us. And the Scripture is crystal clear about that. I believe there's guardian angels. Certainly, the Scripture attests to that. We hit some Scriptures on Sunday night. I'm not going to hit them again this evening. But tonight, I want to focus in on these evil angels, or these devilish angels, if you will. And we'll build some foundation. But let's pray. Father, as we bow, God, in your presence, Lord, again tonight, we love you. God, thank you. It's still through the blood. It's always been through the blood. And I thank you for the good singing. Lord, I'm glad you made a way, Lord, for us to be saved through the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you'd honor your word tonight. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. There's one listing unsaved, unprepared for eternity. God, may tonight be the night of salvation. But I pray for that may be under attack. God, help them to gain strength from another world. Lord, we know that you conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, you're able to overcome these things that we'll talk about tonight. We'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Well, I guess the first question I could give you tonight is this. Are devils real? Are demons real? These unclean spirits, are they real? Well, if they were not real, Jesus would have told us. Now, we could say this. Oftentimes you hear me use this. But in John 14, in verse number 1, Brother Harold, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now listen, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now how do we know there's mansions on the other side, Brother Danny? If it were not so, he would have told us. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Again, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. A person's not going to accidentally get into heaven. They're not going to get in on the coattails of somebody else. Their good works or good deeds or religion is not going to get them to heaven. Only a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you punch your ticket, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Ephesians 2. Lets us know that, and we understand it. But when we go back and we think about this, and we think about the attacks that Satan comes against us, you've got to realize we know heaven is real, because if it weren't real, he would have told us. But how do we know devils are real? Because he told us. He told us. "Oh, preacher, I believe in heaven." Well, yes, there's a heaven to gain, but there's a hell to shun. He told us about that as well. And if it were not so, he would have told us. But think about this passage in Matthew 10, in verse number 1. And of course, this references to the Lord Jesus. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." What's he talking about? He's talking about those unclean spirits, that demon possession, you can call it, that was inside individuals. He gave those apostles power and authority in Jesus' name to cast them out. So we know that they're real, or Jesus wouldn't have told his disciples. He wouldn't have given them power, Brother Kevin, to cast them out if they weren't real. Also in Luke chapter 10, verse number 17, and the 70, remember the 70 that he ordained to go out. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." See, the 70 understood that those unclean spirits were subject unto them as they came in Jesus' name. So how do we know these unclean spirits, these foul spirits, these devils that possess people, how do we know they're real? Because Jesus addressed it. And that's not an exhaustive list, but those two principles certainly found in the Scripture in Matthew 10 and also Luke 10. But somebody might ask the question, well, what are these devils? What are they? Well, the Bible lets us know that they're spirits. Now, I ain't preaching some phony baloney stuff, some off-the-wall stuff. This is Bible. What are these devils? They are spirits. How do you know? Well, again, it's not my opinion. It's based on the Word of God. Listen to what God said. Now, how do we know they're spirits? In Matthew 8 and verse number 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits, plural, with his word, and healed all that were sick. So here's this crowd come, and they're possessed by devils, and the Bible said he cast out those spirits with the word. So what are these devils? What are these unclean spirits? Well, they are spirits. Number two, we know they're referred to as foul spirits, not F-O-W-L, like a bird that flies through the air, but something foul, like gives a foul taste or a foul smell or a foul odor. There's something that is called foul spirits. That is something that's unclean, dirty, and filthy. That's what Satan is, by the way. He's unclean, he's dirty, and he's filthy. The Bible said, Mark chapter 9 and verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. And that's what Jesus called him, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So what are these devils? According to the Bible, they are spirits. We also know they're referred to even greater as a foul spirit. We also know that they are organized. When it comes to these devils, when it comes to these unclean spirits, these foul spirits, they are organized. They sure are. They've got a leader by the name of Satan. Ephesians chapter number 6, we read that, and as New Testament believers, we understand what it means to put on the whole armor of God, which I might remind you, that's my responsibility, Brother Harold, to put on the whole armor of God. It's your responsibility to put on the whole armor of God. God tells us to do that as believers. It's sort of like working out. Let's say if you work in a place where you've got personal protective equipment and you're working with metal or you're working with chemicals, they're going to want you to put those goggles on. They say, hey, you got to wear that personal protective equipment. It might be gloves and it might be goggles. If you choose not to do that, then you might pay a penalty. A penalty by getting your eye put out with some metal shavings or with some kind of chemical. But you put them on for your own protection. But it's up to you. You can go through all the training in the world. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to put on that equipment. Same holds true in the spiritual realm. It's up to us to put on the whole armor of God. He tells us to have our breastplate of righteousness, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I think about that when the gospel, and he talks about our feet. Our feet is what gives us stability. Now, if I got down on my knees tonight, Brother Harold, and it wouldn't matter who it was. I mean, a teenager or whoever. I mean, I feel like I'm fairly strong to a certain degree, and I don't want to fight anybody, but I wouldn't want to lose my legs in a battle. I wouldn't be on my knees. Why? Because I wouldn't have sure-footedness. I wouldn't have stability. I'd lose some strength because of my feet. But hey, the Bible said to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel? That's the death. That's the burial. That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All other ground is sinking sand. But when you stand on the rock, I'm talking about the capital R-O-C-K, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. We got to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible tells us over there in Ephesians 6, you got to have the helmet of salvation. That protects our thinking. You know what? The devil is a master manipulator. Bible talks about holding captive every thought. Am I telling it right? I mean, I could say a couple words that I'm not going to do it, but I could get your mind in the gutter somewhere by making a few statements tonight. Why? Because we got to protect our mind, and we've got to do that. You better put wholesome things in there. If you put unwholesome things in there, it won't be long. You're going to be thinking that way. You're going to be behaving that way. But put the wholesome things inside of your mind, and that's why he tells us to do all those things. But why should we do that? Because the Bible said in Ephesians 6, in verse number 12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's that mean, preacher? That means the battle's not between me and you, Brother Harold. Not between me and you, Sister Jenny. The Bible said the battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I believe even in high places of government. Yeah, man. The spiritual battle rages tonight. I mean, whoever thought? I mean, here we are, we're debating and they're passing laws to legalize marijuana. I mean, God help us. Nobody crying a foul. I mean, you drive down the road and somebody lit up on that stuff and there's going to be people killed, but they don't think anything about it. Why? Because that's more monetary assets to go so that they can waste some more of it. Amen. I guess we could. Now, see what I said a minute ago? I could say just two or three things and our mind get in the gutter. The preacher's mind will get in the gutter too. You got to hold captive every thought, but why should we put on the whole armor of God? Because we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. What I'm preaching tonight is real. Did you know that you as an individual, you are under attack. Satan wants to devour you. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You can throw up a sign and say, hey, I'm saved by the grace of God. Well, to God be the glory, but the devil's not going to stop with that. You still got a target on your back. No, thank God, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, the devil can't get your soul, but he'll try his best to devour your testimony, your influence, your effectiveness as a child of God. He'll try his best to do that. That's why you got to constantly watch and pray. Why? Because you got these spiritual forces that kick against it. I can't even imagine. Brother Danny, I can't imagine what some of our teens, our 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids deal with today. It's unbelievable. There's new pressure. Now, there's always been pressure. Don't make no mistake about that. There's always been pressure, but there's new levels of it today. Unbelievable. When I was growing up, we didn't have the influence of social media, which has absolutely impacted and infiltrated the lives not only of our young people, but our middle-aged, so even our senior adult folks. It plays a big part in that. Listen, I know they can be used for good things, but don't tell me the devil don't use that platform to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Because when it comes to these devils and these unclean spirits, yeah, the Bible said they're spirits, they're foul spirits, but they're organized. They have a leader, and his name is Satan. Who are these devils or unclean spirits? Well, the Bible teaches they're fallen angels. Fallen angels. There's good angels, and there's bad angels. Now, the Bible said this in Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say, and that's the Lord Jesus, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if the devil didn't have angels, Jesus wouldn't have made that statement. These are fallen angels that fail as lightning. Satan fell, and these angels fell as well. As I mentioned the other night, we believe in that scripture where it says a third part of the stars fell with him. A third part of that angel band rebelled with Satan as he rebelled against God, and he desired to be as God, and he was kicked out of heaven. The Bible said this, and it's an interesting chapter in the Bible. There's a lot of things that Jesus accomplished. He dealt with death, he dealt with disease, disappointment, despair, darkness. In Luke chapter number 8, you'll see several miracles unfolded there. But in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 30, the Bible said this, and this is where the fellow had the unclean spirit cast out of him, but he asked to go into a herd of swine. Now I want to show you something here. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 30, the Bible said, and Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. So here Jesus is talking to this man that is possessed with this devil. And he asked him what his name is. And he said, my name is Legion. And that Legion is a military term. Again, the Romans, some commentators believe that a Legion was 3,000. Some believe it was 6,000. Regardless, there's at least 3,000 of these devils inside of this one man. So Jesus asked him what his name was. And he said, my name is Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Now watch this. And they, who's they? That's the many devils that had entered into this man. And they besought him, that's Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them, or he allowed them. That's basically what that means. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Now, according to the Word of God, not only can these spirits possess people, but they can also possess animals. They sure can. But what I want you to see is this. When you think about that man or these devils that asked the Lord Jesus, hey, don't cast us out into the deep. What were they talking about? You got to understand something. They're organized. They're under Satan's command. They're under his direction. They're under his authority, these unclean spirits are. But they know their destination. They know their end. Now, they're not omniscient like God is, but they know their end. Why did they, plural, why did they ask to be sent out into the hogs of swine, not into the deep? Because they know that's where they're going one day. The Bible said this in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. A great chain in his hand, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up." I've always loved that phrase. God's going to shut up the devil one of these days. That's the Bible. That's what he said. He's going to bound with him 1,000 years and cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You see, these devils besought Jesus not to command them to go out into the deep, the bottomless pit that he's talking about there in Revelation chapter number 20. But eventually, everlasting fire will be their eternal destination. Now, something interesting. I got to go back to Luke chapter 8 that you and I need to get. As Jesus had healed this man, he had cast out those unclean spirits, this devil that called himself Legion, because there was many that entered into this man. Here was a man that's sitting in his hole. He's in his right mind. But the people of the town came out and they begged him. They prayed, the Bible said, for him to depart out of their coast. Why is that? They were more concerned over a couple thousand hogs than they were over one man's soul. I tell you what, you and I, we got to be about the Father's business even today. Don't sweat the small stuff, man. There's people, there's men, women, boys, and girls dying and going to hell every day. And listen, thank God, I thank God for the harmony we have at Faith Community Baptist Church. But a lot of places, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of squabbling about over little insignificant things. And we got people dying and going to hell all around us. We ought to get upset about that. But that crowd, they were more concerned about the hogs. And he left, he departed. He gave in to their request. But when we think about these, we understand that these fallen angels, they understand and they know their destination. But what do they really do? And this is where the real crutch of the message is. What do they do? What do they accomplish? I mean, specifically, well, there's three ways. There's more than that. But three where I want to focus on tonight. What do these devils do? Well, number one, they corrupt sound doctrine. They corrupt sound doctrine. Now, even the Bible talks about, and I didn't have that marked down. I want to say it's 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I may flip over there and read that here in just a second. But when it comes to doctrine, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the devils will try their best to corrupt sound doctrine. Well, how in the world does Satan do that? He's got ministers. There are churches that we refer to as prisons with stained glass windows. And you think about this, and maybe if I find it, I'll find it. If I don't, I'll come back and I'll give it to you later on. But maybe 2 Corinthians chapter 11, maybe that's it, or chapter 12, 1. I'm looking for it. It's chapter 11. Here we go. Think about this. How do you know that Satan has his ministers? The Bible said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and verse number 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So here you got false apostles, the Bible calls them. They're deceitful workers, but they're transformed into the apostles of Christ. They come under the guise of being a disciple of Christ. But they're a false teacher according to the Word of God. And the Bible said this, verse 14, and no marvel. In other words, don't be surprised by that. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, what does it mean that Satan is transformed into an angel of light? The best way, and you've heard this, I point at you more than once, Brother Harold. But when you think about this, you think about the devil. Again, the devil's not a red character with horns on his head and a pitchfork. If you could see Satan tonight, he'd be the most beautiful creature you could ever imagine. Again, Lucifer, when he was created, there was no iniquity found in him whatsoever. That word Lucifer means bright, shining one. He shines forth. But when the devil comes out before you, you don't see him with a big bazooka or an M16 or a double-barrel shotgun pointed at you. If you seen that, you'd run. He comes as a beautiful creature with that temptation and laying out everything, your desires, and he will paint a beautiful picture, but will not show you the end result of an action giving in to that temptation. That's why he's transformed into an angel of light. But we've got to be weary of that. The Bible goes on to say in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers. Also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan and his fallen angels, these devils, these unclean spirits, they corrupt sound doctrine. Thank God, Brother Danny, for those that have stood faithful to the Word of God. There's been attacks on the King James Bible for years and years and years, but thank God it has stood the test of time. It will stand the test of time, even in a wicked and a corrupt world and an age in which we live. But the devils love to penetrate individuals and individual local churches and even the pulpit to corrupt sound doctrine. But the Bible told us to be weary of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit, and that's capital S, which has to do with the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Bible said it'd get to a point where, what does that mean to have that conscience seared with a hot iron? I've shared this too, but it's worth hitting again. There's a medical deal that they call it. I don't know what the name of it is. It's a big, long word. They tell me you can get burnt so bad that you can lose all feelings in a certain part of your body if you get burnt so bad. And think about when your conscience is seared with a hot iron, it won't bother you anymore. I mean, you get burnt, you know to get your hand back. What if you ain't got no feeling there? You ain't going to know no different. That's what these devils do. They corrupt sound doctrine. We're living in an age, shacking up, living together. And they say, oh, I'm right with God. You're not right with God. You gave in to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's just one thing. But I'm just saying that's freely accepted. The gays and the lesbians, they say, well, it's all right. God still loves us. Yeah, he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And they give into that stuff. Where did that come from? It comes from seducing spirits and the doctrines of the devil. It come from a hellish spirit. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Because you think about these hellish spirits, they corrupt sound doctrine. But number two, they corrupt godly wisdom. Wisdom. Making good decisions, making sound decisions that are based upon the Bible. In James chapter 3, verse number 13 said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? So he asked the question, who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Then he says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Then listen, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish, the Bible said. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. God said there is a wisdom that will descend from above. How do we get that wisdom? Well, it's by following the Word of God and following the Spirit of God. And can I tell you one more time? The Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God will never be contrary one to the other. I've had people say, hey, you know, God led me to do this. This is a direct contrary to what God said. And you write off that God hadn't told them to do that. But when you look at this situation, what are these seducing spirits, these doctrines of the devil? They corrupt sound doctrine. They corrupt godly wisdom. But number three, they even corrupt Christian fellowship. These devils do. These unclean spirits. Now again, this is something that's maybe it's a little deeper of a message. And again, I understand it's Wednesday night. And I hope it's going to help you. Because we need to know how the devil works. We need to know how he operates in his domain. Because we all going to have to deal with it. It's our responsibility to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're under attack, and we better put on the whole armor of God. And we better understand that these devils, they corrupt sound doctrine, they corrupt godly wisdom, and they also corrupt Christian fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said this. 1 Corinthians 10, 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now, that goes without saying, Brother Harold. God said, I don't want you to have fellowship with devils. But what do you do when that devil is transformed into an angel of light? That's why you got to be careful. That's why you got to try the spirits, the Bible said. Yeah, man, whether they be a god. Bible lets us know that 1 John 4, verse 1, you can look it up. He goes on to say, he said, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. And he goes on to say, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. In other words, you can't serve the devil's crowd and God's crowd. Amen. You can't just sit on the fence. It corrupts these devils. They corrupt Christian fellowship. He goes on to say, ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. A lot of that goes on today. A lot of folks will march into church on Sunday. They've lived like the devil. They've lived like hell itself all week. They partied. They come to the house of God. We're glad to have them at the house of God. And listen, I don't know everybody. See, I ain't got a clue. I'm just saying I know how people are because we're all made out of the same stuff. They'll live like the devil all week, and they'll come in and say, oh, how I love Jesus, and then go right back out on Monday and talking to the same old dirty jokes, laughed at the same old dirty jokes, running around with a woman, running around with a... You say, surely that... Are you kidding me? I know where I'm living. I know where I'm at, even in the Bible Belt of America in East Bend, North Carolina. I'm telling you, these devils, they are reaping havoc all around. These unclean spirits, they're all around us today. And it's high time for you and I to better wake up. They're after you. They're after your youngest. They're after your grandbabies. They're after the ministry of this church. I say, Brother Wayne, to God be the glory, for over 51 years now, the church has stayed faithful. That don't mean there ain't been attacks. There's always been attacks. As long as the church is standing, they'll continue to be attacks. But what I started with, I'm going to end with it. In Matthew chapter number 16, in verse number 18, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, we're going to love people. We're going to try our best to help people. But we got to tell folks the truth. And the truth of the matter is, what these devils do, man, they corrupt sound doctrine. They corrupt godly wisdom. They corrupt Christian fellowship. There's other things that they do, but I feel like that's enough tonight. Sister Savannah's coming. I'd leave you with this verse over there in Mark chapter 1, verse number 25. As I said earlier, these devils, although we're to put on the whole armor of God, because we're no match for the devil and even his angels, these unclean spirits. But again, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen to this in Mark 1 as I close, verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. You see, they're no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only hope to overcome these things. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're living in an evil culture. There's never been a time when there wasn't an evil culture. I mean, there's always been sinners on the earth. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. But you look around us, I think we see it more. It seems like it's more prevalent. Certainly, I feel like we're in the last days. Paul thought he is in the last days. Surely, we're getting closer. And yes, Jesus is coming soon. But you and I better be faithful. We better keep our spiritual eyes wide open. You better be on your knees like you've never been before. There ought to be some time when you read God's Word. You ought to have a public altar where you go and you spend some time with God. You ought to have a private altar at home and a public altar where you can go and you can get some help from God, because we need help from another world so we can overcome these unclean spirits, these devils that we face in the world today. And it's our responsibility to put on the whole armor of God. It's up to you. I can tell you. You can tell me. At the end of the day, Brother Kevin, you got to put it on. I got to put it on. Brother Howard, you got to put it on. Every one of us got to put it on. Kids under attack. Churches under attack. Our world's, even America, been under attack, still under attack by these unclean spirits that I'm talking about tonight. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to share your word tonight. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd touch and you'd help. I don't know every situation in this building. God, there's not a one of us in here that's not been impacted in some shape, form, or fashion by the unclean spirits, by the influence of Satan and his angels, even here where we are tonight. And Father, I beg and I plead in Jesus' name, if there's one listening, unsaved, unprepared for eternity, God, may tonight be the night that those shackles and those chains come off. God, I'm thankful for the forgiveness that you offer. God, no matter what we've done, where we've been, God, I'm glad you can save. Lord, during this invitation time, I pray that you'd remove every hindrance, God, every distraction from this place. God, do a work that only you can. Help folks, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.